Again, it's good to have everybody tonight. We're glad you're here. Thankful, amen, for the blessing of the Lord. And we just want to continue to worship him tonight. But we're going to get ready, amen, to just let our evangelist tonight come and obey the Lord and minister. He's no stranger around here, amen. And we're thankful for him. We appreciate this. This is our fifth anniversary. It's our fifth year of doing our tent camp meeting. And he came, amen, for our very first one. And we connected and just had a kingdom connection. We have just watched him. He's gotten married since then. He has two babies since then. Amen. And the Lord is just blessing him. Amen. We can bring him down here in just a few minutes. But we appreciate him. Thank the Lord so much for his kindred spirit. But I want you to give the Lord, first of all, another hand clap. And then as he's coming, just show him some appreciation tonight. Evangelist Dave Michael Rose, amen. Worship again as he comes tonight. Hallelujah.
Unto the Lord for his keeping power. Amen. That is kind towards us. For that we offer him praise. Amen. Right where you are, can you just lift your hands and lift your voice and let's ask the Holy Ghost to talk to us tonight. Come on, I feel the sensitivity in this atmosphere, and I believe tonight somebody's going to leave here with a miracle. Somebody's going to leave here with breakthrough and freedom in their mind. Amen, that God is going to transform you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands, lift your voice all across this tabernacle.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Come on, it's an easy thing to worship him when the music sounds just right. It's an easy thing to worship him when the beat of the drum puts a pep in your step. But can you tap into something within right now? I'm not looking for pretenders. I'm looking for some Levites right now that would just lift your hands and lift your voice and magnify him. Come on, lift your hands all across this house and lift your voice and give him what you owe him. You don't know what to say. Tell the Lord how much you love him. Tell the Lord how much he means to you. Come on, we magnify you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. There's none like you in all the earth. There's none like you in all of your way. Come on right now, if it be appropriate, just lean over and grab that neighbor by the hand and just begin to squeeze power into that neighbor's hand, squeeze life into that neighbor's hand. Come on, begin to squeeze. Come on, why am I squeezing that hand? Because it's a sign that I'm still holding on. It's a sign that God still has me in the palm of his hand. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We magnify you, Jesus. Come on, we glorify you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel some moving right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We magnify your name, Jesus. There's nothing like you in all of your way. Come on, you're perfect in all of your way. You're a good father. You're mighty. You're my fortress. You're my song. You're my deliverer. Come on, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, I'm looking for a few of you right now. Can you just press? Come on, can you press a few moments? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. faithful. I will bless him because I have to. No, but because he is good to me. I'm going to just run over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, just slide over some. Because when I think back over my life and I think about all the ways that God has made for me, I think about all the doors that God has opened. That it should have ended another way. The power of God showed up and let me know that there's still a work for me to do. There's still power in me. There's still anointing in me. And that's why I praise him, because I love him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That we sing, I'll be more even undignified than this. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that we know who he is. Amen. We don't come to church, amen, to just sit around and look at everybody else. No, we come to church. Tell your neighbor, if you don't leave worship musty and sweaty, then you ain't doing nothing. All right, come on. Y'all ain't talking. Come on, I'm telling you, I made my mind up a long time ago. Amen. I'm going to get what I come for, whether nobody else gets it or not. And I'm thankful unto the Lord for his power of divine. Can you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord tonight? And while you're clapping, can you ring this tabernacle underneath this gospel tent for your men of God and for your first lady? Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Great leaders you have here in Columbus, Ohio, and that of Pastor Leslie and First Lady Leslie, and we honor the Lord for them. Amen. And we thank God for what they're doing, amen, in the kingdom of God and what they're doing here, amen, in the state of Ohio. And I'm so thankful unto the Lord for them. Amen. Thank God for all the leadership in this house. Can you clap your hands for the leadership? Each and every one of you, men that are here tonight, amen, worshiping the Lord, amen, in spirit and in truth, and we honor the Lord for you and for what he is doing. I honor the Lord. Can we clap our hands for Harvest Ministry? We honor you. Thank you, Lord, for doing the and all the ministers, all the preachers and pastors in your respectful places, can you stand quickly all across this tent? Can we clap our hands and can we honor each and every one of you tonight? Come on, clap your hands and honor. We give honor what honor is due. And the time will permit itself. I will tell each and every one of you thank you from the bottom of my heart for paving the way for a young whippersnapper as myself to travel this country and to preach a word of holiness and righteousness to a lost and dying world. And I'm so thankful for you tonight. Amen. We would not be the kingdom of God if all of us did not unite together. Come together preaching Jesus, him crucified, him buried, and resurrected, coming again after a church without spot, wrinkle, nor blemish. And for that, I honor the Lord for each and every one of you tonight. Amen. I thank the Lord, amen, for my wife and two baby girls. Sweetheart, just stand up and let the people see you. Amen. I'm thankful unto the Lord. Baby Lilac and baby Juniper, if you hear them scream in the next few moments, it's because they feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. We honor the Lord. Amen for them tonight. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. Tell them, I'm a lover of the word of God. How many's got that power with you? Come on, hold that power up. When everything else falls, when everything else wavers, this word remains the same. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke 22. verse 31, the Gospel of Luke 22, verse 31. I am in awe of what God has been doing around here. Amen. Even before I got here, but I'm thankful for what he's going to do even when I leave. Amen. Because I believe to the tabernacle is in, amen, right alignment with what God is doing. Very familiar faces I see, very foreign faces, yeah. But I'm thankful tonight. You made your mind up who's going to come to the house of God on a Thursday night. And so I'm telling you, while we're here, we might as well have church tonight. Amen. And I'm thankful unto the Lord, the Gospel of Luke 22, verse 31. When you have it, shout Jesus.
Jesus.
If you're looking for it, shout Jesus.
Jesus.
If you don't know where it is, shout Jesus. Amen. It's after Genesis and before Revelation. Amen. The Gospel of Luke 22, verse 31. The King James Version Bible says it like this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Set your Bibles down, set your devices down, lift your hands and lift your voice. And let's ask the Holy Ghost to talk to us tonight. Lord, Savior, Father, God, before we ask you for anything, we thank you for everything. We thank you for that of the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your power divine that is able to keep us and sustain us. God, I pray tonight if there be one that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, I pray tonight you give them this dunamis power. I pray tonight if there be one that is lost, let them find you. Amen, in the manner of your resurrection. I pray tonight that signs, miracles, and wonders bust loose underneath this gospel tent tonight. And God, I pray what I pray every time. Preach me like a madman on fire. Preach me till I can't stand and preach no more. Preach me till yokes are destroyed and your power is edified. God, I pray tonight, don't let them see they might kill, but let them see you. Allow me to decrease so that you might increase, and we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the majestic, magnificent name of Jesus the Christ. The Church of the Living God can shout amen.
Amen.
And amen. Clap your hands together. Like the devil's head is in between them as you're being seated tonight. If I could preach to you for a few moments, I want to leave you with this thought tonight. Simon says, I'm Peter. Lean over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Simon says, I'm Peter. You're talking to the wrong neighbor. Tell somebody else, Simon says, I'm Peter. My brothers and my sisters, you and I know the game that we all would play, whether we would be in elementary school or even now till this day, called Simon Says. Simon Says is a fun classical game that encourages an active player or one to help exercise listening skills abroad. Although Simon Says is traditionally a child's game, kids of all ages play all across America this game that we all know as Simon Says. This fun game increases as the number of players begin to grow. So if you will, let's take it another step further and try it tonight. Simon says, take your right hand and throw it up in the air. Simon says, take your left hand and throw it up in the air. Simon says, take your left hand and wave it. Simon says, take your right hand and wave it. Simon says, stand up from your seat. Simon says, take your left hand and put it down. Now take your right hand and wave it. Some of you already out because Simon never said do it. Do you see? Oh, I feel like preaching now. Do you see how it is easy to follow the instruction while failing to understand the assignment? just like some of you were easily following the instruction. That's exactly where some of us are even tonight. We hear God say one thing, but while we're so focused on mastering one part of our life, the enemy will slip in and manipulate things within us that will cause us to miss the opportunity of what God wants to do. And I propose to you tonight that the enemy is working in overtime to weaken the believers in their faith. According to our text, God has allowed the attacks within to produce growth and maturity in the believer. Not only has God allowed it, but God is also rooting for every believer to overcome the tricks and the plots of the enemy. God believes that the Christian would have a strong willpower to make it out alive even when the attacks are sent to plot against their faith. But I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful on this Thursday that we are overcomers by and through our faith. You and I must understand that Satan has desired to bring utter destruction to every believer. Satan doesn't destroy the believer with altercations. He destroys the believer through deceptions to strangle their faith with their trial. Satan's plot is to discourage the believer by choking their faith. He understands that the believer overcomes by their faith. So if the believer overcomes by their faith, I'm going to do all that I can to attack their faith. Some of us, many of you may not know it, have been in a fight and a tussle because we have failed to realize it's not altercation that fights us. It's the reality of the willpower to adhere to the words of God, even when I don't know what else to do. Some of you can be real tonight and say, "Preacher, this month has been trying. This year has been trying. I thought it was going to be up from here, but the reality is some of us have made it tonight, not knowing what God was going to do next due to the fact that we have not necessarily been in altercation, but we have been under attack due to the fact that our marriages have been rocky, jobs have been scarce, politics are demeaning on every side. Come on, can I tell you tonight, I don't care who we vote for. Come on, everything seems to be in an uproar politically all across America. If it's not in our government, it's in our churches. If it's not in our churches, come on, it's in our families. Come on, everything is out of whack. Everybody is unsettled. Everybody, come on, is at ease, not knowing what is next to come. But the hypocrisy seems to be everywhere. Some of you are literally in a fight for your life. Come on, due to the fact that you're not coming to church to hear the latest gossip about so-and-so, and to hear about what she thinks about you, and to hear about what they said about you. No, baby, I'm beyond that right now. I'm in a fight of my life, and I don't have time, come on, to give attention to messy people. Come on, that all they have to do is discourage rather than encourage. I just need you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I don't have time to be attacked." Look, every time you look around, the only time you talk to them is when they tell you what they said about you. Come on, the only time they reach out to you. "Well, girl, you ain't gonna believe what they said now." But I come to tell you, we have to get to a place that we're so postured in God that I will not be wavered nor moved by the ignorance that is slipping up to a place. Come on, they're supposed to be holy. Come on, you're asking the question, is all of this worth it? Many of you have gotten to the point, come on, where your questioning is going to another level. Is God still real? If so, why hasn't he made a way yet? Is God for me? God, I'm working this thing out, but it seems as if the more I work it out, the worse it gets. It looks like when I pray, the Lord performs in the opposite measures of what I'm requesting him to do. You're fighting the deceitful thought of wanting to throw in the towel. You're tired of church. You're tired of church people. You're tired of church antics. You're tired of church services. You're tired of being bothered with those that are spiritually phony. You're tired and gotten to the point that No, I'm just tired of being attached to people that don't really have a love for God, but have a love for drama. Come on. No, I want to live a God in my life, and I don't have time to play patty cake with spirits. Come on, that want to come after my demise. And it's here that we have to understand. Come on, some of us, we've now been in a place where we're trying to figure out why all this is happening all at once. Come on, now we've come to a place. Come on, that the people that I once relied on are now in a place where they become comfortable with seeing the tension. Here's the question, my brothers and sisters, with all of this tension, what is God's plan against the Satan's plot? The plan against Satan's plot is that Jesus would assist us in the fight against the plot. And here's the text. We find Jesus here. It doesn't start off in verse 33. The plot starts off in verse number 1, because the Bible would give us the understanding that Jesus is under attack by the chief priest who is seeking to kill Jesus. The Bible would then state that Satan had now entered into the heart of Judas. And a lot of times we find it here that a lot of people preach that Judas betrayed Jesus. But if we take our time to read the text, we would understand it wasn't just Judas. The disciples allowed a spirit to slip into, because the Bible said not only did Judas make a deal with the chief priest, but the Bible went on to elaborate that now the disciples got into an altercation. They started arguing once more. Come on. They started coming at each other due to the fact that the pressure of survival outweighed them in such a manner. And the Bible declared that it was here that now the Bible said that after Satan entered in to the heart of Judas, Judas now began to plot against Jesus for his utter destruction. After this happens, we got to journey a few more verses down, because now seeing in verse 24 and 30, Jesus and his disciples are in a place where the disciples know that Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed. But because they needed clarity on what was getting ready to happen to their Savior, the Bible declared that now Jesus said, I know some of you are getting ready to betray me. I know there's great turmoil all around, but I must tell you that I have to suffer because of you. Then the Bible went on to tell us that now Judas betrayed him, and the disciples did too. Instead of them trying to hold on to the Messiah, they start arguing amongst themselves, trying to figure out who the greatest is. When Jesus gets betrayed and it gets here to a place of not understanding the death, the burial, and resurrection, the Bible said while they're going through this, trying to figure out who the greatest is, who's the most anointed, like so many church folk, come on here, who's got the better music, who's got the better solo, who can preach the most effective, who's got, come on, the better title, come on. And now we found ourselves in a place of turmoil and tussle, in a place where we should be united. And the Bible declared that it was here that now they found themselves, come on, in a turmoil, if you will. And the word declared, Jesus looks at them and says, one who is the greatest that finds himself in a posture of servanthood, he is the greatest. He said, your title means nothing to me. Your preaching ability means nothing to me. I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how many states you travel to and preach. He said, no, the greatest of you all is the one that can be a servant. Come on, the greatest of you all is the one that can have a heart that is postured in right alignment to my word. He said, you missed it, because here they are trying to shift into another element. And Jesus is telling them, you've been with me all this time. You know everything about me. And I'm leaning on you to do the work. Come on, but instead of them doing the work, they allow immaturities, come on, to slip in, and they no longer seen, come on, the big picture due to the small picture. Them failing to recognize, come on, that they're too busy chasing the position. Come on, that they haven't recognized the enemy has entered into their heart. If I depart here for a moment, I need you to understand that half the people now that come to our churches, they don't come because they want God. Come on, that's been one of the greatest hindrances to revival all across America. Come on, some are coming because of notoriety. Some are coming because of positions and power. Come on, this is half a major reason why some folk, you need to get rid of your title. Come on, can I tell you, if your title changes you, you need to give it back, baby. Come on, if your title changes you, come on, I don't care if you're an apostle or bishop, come on here in the Lord's church, don't you allow that to change who you are. Come on, I'm fine with just being Brother Knowles, because at the end of the day, it's not about me, it's not about my credentials. You take them and throw them in a fire if you want to. Come on, at the end of the day, it's about us coming together, being unified as the body of Christ, reaching a nation, reaching a city that needs to know that the gospel is for them that are far off, that have strayed away. Come on, tell somebody, the gospel isn't about you, the gospel is about them that have strayed from the throne room of God. The gospel's for them that feel like they can't be loved again. The gospel is for them that everybody has condemned them of all the sin that they've done. Can I tell you, I thank God that we serve a man that doesn't walk out when you make a mistake. We serve a man that doesn't throw you away when you fail him. No, we serve a man, come on, that says, I see your flaws, I see your future, and I still want to use you. I still want to make you whole. I still want to do something on the inside of you. You got to make your mind up tonight. If we're going to be a called out people, we have to understand that God is looking for them that have a desire to posture themselves in the upper chambers of his glory. Can I tell you tonight, come on, a lot of us have gotten caught up. I'm trying to figure out now why in the world we make charity cases. And come on, and boards, come on, for folk cleaning up the church. When have we started giving out titles? Come on here, y'all ain't talking to me. Come on, we give out titles for everything. We pass them like candy. And when we don't, they get mad and go to another church. I'm telling you, we have to understand. Come on, power, it does not come through a title. No, power comes through a fruit. Tell your neighbor, what's your fruit look like? Is your fruit rotten? Come on, you can talk in tongues, you can TTT and talk all night long, but can you love people? Come on, can you love people even when you don't want to love them? Can you really pray for them even when you know all their junk? Do you air it out, or do you keep it to yourself? And pray, y'all ain't gonna talk to me up in here. Oh, y'all ain't trying to hide my kind of church. I'm talking about when you know what they did was wrong, and you got the proof, but instead you keep it to yourself and pray for them. Instead of spreading it all over the church, and they wonder why they can't come, because they know more about them than they know about God before they get there. I'm trying to tell you, we gotta get back to the place. Y'all ain't gonna say amen to me tonight. I'm preaching anyway, because I know I'm talking right. We have lost our desire to restore and to redeem. Come on, tell your neighbor, you should not have power through tearing your brother and sister down, rather than having power to restore your brother. Anybody can kick a man while he's down. That's a punk. Come on, but I want to know, can you lift your brother up when he falls? Can you lift your sister up when he falls? I want to be known to be a people that is consistent, that loves, that picks up. Push your neighbor and say, neighbor, pick your brother up, pick your sister up when they fall. Because my assignment is not to dwell on what I know. No, my assignment is to dwell on who God is in and through them. We got spiritual bullies in the church now. Come on, you think you get with your little clique? Come on and talk bad about everybody else. Tell somebody, don't you forget where you come from.
Come on.
Yeah, come on, somebody. Don't you better forget. Come on, where God brought you from. Come on, because of reality. Some of y'all, if I knew what you've done, if you knew what I've done, y'all ain't talking. You wouldn't be sitting beside some of them right now. But God was so gracious. Jesus. He kept it under the blood and didn't nobody know about it. Oh, somebody. We serve a God that even when we done it, He forgave and covered it. And I'm telling you tonight, we got to get back to a place of understanding. It's not about organization. It's not about affiliation. It's not about my four no more. It's about being in right covenant and fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to make an impact on all my generation. Jesus is telling the disciples, you missed it, because by the time we get to verse 31, the Bible said they're still in a tussle over who's going to be the greatest. And the Bible declared that it was here, but now they wanted to know who is going to take the position of Jesus after he is betrayed and killed. And the Bible declared that while they're in the midst of this heated discussion, Jesus abruptly interrupts with authority. And here it is. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Jesus' plan is to assist us in victory while fighting against a plot, come on, that we've never planned for, nor even seen coming. And so Jesus paints the text with giving us this understanding. Simon, you may fall, but I need you to put this in your heart before you do. Tell your neighbor, you may fall, but God is going to give you getting back up anointing. If you keep reading down the line, a few verses, Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me thrice. You're going to get to a point where you're going to turn your back on me. Before you can walk with me real strong, there's going to be failure in some of your steps against me that pushes you towards me. But Peter, you will not fail. Yes, you might fall, but you will not fail. And we find here that now Peter finds himself in a place where he failed. And I've made a whole lot of mistakes in my life, but I'm thankful my mistakes didn't result into failure. Oh yes, I'll be honest with you tonight, this old boy's tripped up a time or two, but I'm thankful me tripping up, it didn't end in failure. That's why Proverbs 24 declared, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. My assignment tonight is to snatch some of you up out of what's trying to put you in a box of failure and mistakes, and to tell you that you might have fallen, but God still has a plan for you. You might have fallen, but God still has a calling over your life. God still has need for you in the kingdom. Jesus has prayed for you, and the text says, I pray for you. Satan desires to have you. Satan is plotting to destroy you, almost as if the reoccurrence in Job's manifested in the Gospel of Luke. Satan had a meeting with God concerning Job. Well, now that same type of meeting is in regards to Peter. Satan desires. Can I tell you, desires in the Greek means Satan is in his meeting with Jesus and has demanded, give me Peter. I want Peter. Let me try Peter. Wreck Peter's life. Get me Peter. What do you do when Satan goes to God and asks for you? I know you have a lot on your list right now, but I want Peter, because Peter, yeah, that's the one, he gets mad real quick. He'll throw hands with you in a minute if you rub him the wrong way. Yeah, that Peter. Peter, he'll shout, come on, but you can talk to him reckless. He'll cuss you out in a minute. Y'all ain't talking to me. Get me Peter. If that's the Peter I want, I want the cussing Peter. I want the fighting Peter. Because if I can get Peter in his carnality, I'll stop what Peter's going to be in his spirituality. I'm trying to tell somebody right now that I believe tonight God sent me here on a prophetic assignment to tell you, you come in here
as Simon, but you're getting ready to leave here as Peter. You come in here with destruction. You come in here not knowing what God was going to do in your life. But I come to prophesy and tell you there's still hope, there's still power in the Holy Ghost for you to come out of this. Shake your neighbor's hand. Look, you're going to shake it off and say, neighbor, you come in here with one name, but you're going to leave here with a different name. You come in here broke, busted, and disgusted, but you're going to leave here made whole by the renewing of your mind. I come to tell somebody, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. To tell somebody, you're coming up out of this. You're coming up out of this. You're not going to die yet. You're not by yourself. But the power of the Holy Ghost within is going to give you freedom to walk out of this. Open up your mouth. Lift your hands and shout to the Lord.
I can get Peter. I can destroy him. You gotta understand Peter. He's loyal. Oh yeah, Peter had some flaws, but Peter was loyal. Can I tell you, we have to understand, come on, that now I have not denied Satan from you, but Peter, you're gonna be okay, because I'm praying for you. I have prayed for you. Jesus speaks in past tense. Satan wants to try you. Now that I've already prayed, I know there's some students in here. You've already went back to school. So let's take a moment to refresh your memory and to refresh the adults too. Let's go to English class. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. Tell somebody there's an ED on it, because he was letting them know, I've already done it before you go through it. Oh, come on, somebody. He was letting them know, Peter, yeah, you're going to go through. Come on, yes, Peter, you're going to fight for your life, but it's okay, Peter, because I've already covered what you didn't even see coming. Peter, I've already covered what you didn't know you could handle. I had to pray for you, Peter. I dare to look at your neighbor and say, hey, hey, neighbor, Satan has had some desires to wreck your world and turn it upside down, but you can resist in the joy of knowing there's already been prayers that have been prayed for you. You can rejoice in knowing that somebody has had you on their mind. You can rejoice in knowing that there is victory and joy in the Holy Ghost. I come to preach right now and tell somebody, I don't care what you're going through. I come to tell you, somebody has already prayed for you. Somebody has had you on their mind. Somebody has lifted you up to let you know that no weapon going against you shall be able to prosper. I feel like preaching now, because I come to tell somebody, I come to speak life into you and let you know, this ain't the end of your life. This ain't the end of your assignment. I come to tell you that God said, I'm getting ready to give you a power to stand in the face of death and declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and cry to the Lord. I feel a change of the Lord. I feel a rumbling of the Spirit. I've already prayed for you. I've already covered you. It ain't over yet. But I am a God of my word. I am a God. I'm a Santa. I've come to tell you. I pray for you. And if you've already prayed, and I'm praying now, you can rest assured that now that I've given you a promise that you'll come out of this, since the prayer has already been prayed, the Lord is going to stop the process of what you're going through, but he'll make sure you'll come out of this alive. Tell your neighbor, so you're coming out of this alive. Oh yeah, you're coming out of this alive.
two people you've not talked to yet and say, hey, hey, neighbor, you're going to live to see it happen. You're going to live to see the promise fulfilled. You're going to live. Get up out of your seat. Go to two people and tell them you're going to live to see it happen. You're going to live to see your family saved. You're going to live to see a miracle hit your house. You're gonna live to see the promise come to pass. You're gonna live to see things break off of your mind. You're gonna live to see it prevail. That heaven sit no way. It's only by the cross. But you're coming out of this. I'm gonna live. Live.
Romans 8 declared, I
know how to interpret your moaning and your groaning that cannot be uttered. You don't have to worry about what's going on because you're not alone. And I understand, I can comprehend what you're going through. I, the Lord, your God, have already prayed that you would have the victory, that you would have the faith that would fail you not. I'm just looking for 22 and a half of you that are praising right now. In other words, my focus isn't going to be on the situation, but my focus is going to be on the outcome. Let me simplify for you. Grab your neighbor. Get your preaching voice. If you got to clear your throat, go ahead and clear it. But lean over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, 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 tonight. You can cry about it later, but you can shout about it now. You can weep over it later, but you can rejoice about it now. You can lift your hands now, and you can worry later. You can lift your feet now, and you can worry later. But I heard the psalmist say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I feel the second wind now. I will walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, I'm going through the valley, but the valley won't have me. I'm going through the valley, but the valley won't have me. To the low place, but the low place won't have me. As I come to tell you, my focus is on the outcome. I pray for you because I'm not too concerned about the situation. No, I'm concerned about if you're going to waver. I come to tell you that tonight he's praying for you. And I like what he said, because he said, Peter, I've already prayed for you. But Sister Flo, he said, Peter, after I pray for you, he said, your faith shall fail thee not. I wish I had somebody to help me preach my way through this tip tonight. I said, your faith shall fail you not. I might lose money, but I still got faith. I might lose friends, but I still got faith. I might lose family, but I still got faith. Come on here. They say it like this in Kentucky. Friends may come and friends may go, but don't let nobody turn you around. Because there's one thing that I know for sure. When I go through the valley, that I shall come forth as pure gold. You can lose your joy, but with your faith, you can get it back. You can lose your peace, but with faith, you can get it back. You can lose everything, but with your faith, you can get it back. Jesus, he's telling Peter, I have prayed for you because my plan is to stabilize your faith in the middle of the plot. Satan desires to sift you. Can I tell you what sift means? Sift means shaking you until you're almost nothing. Can I submit to you tonight? The enemy doesn't want to kill you. He just wants to shake you to see you suffer. The enemy doesn't want to kill you, because what's the fun in that? To kill you and put you out of your misery. No, the enemy, he wants to shake you till you're almost nothing. But I pray for your faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Faith without works is dead. What works without faithfulness to God is also dead. Faithfulness to God isn't making him your last resort. Rather, faithfulness to God is making him your only resort. Whenever you feel like your faith is being tried, you have to understand that Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, but he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble. And come on here. You know what that's telling you. You can go through fear, and he'll be right there. You can go through pressure, he'll be right there. Because there's some of you tonight, on this Thursday, you said, God, I'm done. I'm going in the towel, and it's over for me. But you know what I heard the Lord say? Why you throw in the towel? He's throwing it right back at you. Because you can't give up. You can't walk away. You can't turn around now. But God is looking for you to catch the same towel that you threw in. Can I teach this Bible? I promise it's going to make sense. I'm almost done. But you begin to study, my brothers and sisters. And if you study scripture, those of you taking notes, you can put it down the Bible. The Bible talks about five levels of faith. Those of you putting it down, you can put no faith. You can put little faith. You can put great faith. The gift of faith and the measure of faith. Those are the five, come on, measures of faith that the Bible talks about. What we find through scripture, your faith can be measured as though it may be different. Each and every one of us under this tent tonight, we all have different levels of faith. But I come to tell you that when you have strong faith, nothing can move you. Nothing can deter you. Nothing can turn you around. But when you have weak faith, you get mad when folk don't talk to you. You get mad when folks sit in your seat right up in the church. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, when you have weak faith, you get upset because pastor didn't ask you to take up the offer. You get mad because you didn't get to sing the solo. Come on, if you would have been worshiping with everybody else singing, then maybe God would have blessed you with the solo you wanted. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I'm trying to tell you. You know what that is? That's a spirit of insecurity that'll play on your faith. Come on, but tell somebody, we're in this thing together, baby. Come on, somebody. I said, we're in this thing together. Oh, yes. It ain't about me. I would that God would understand. I'm telling you, some of y'all looking at me smiling, but I've seen it too many times. You let God use somebody else to sing their song. They get mad and pout and don't come back to church for 2 months. Come on. I'm trying to tell somebody, you got to understand that the enemy, he's after your faith. The enemy, he's after your ability to stand in the gap and to protect the hands that is trying to slip in and steal the harvest. We find throughout scripture that faith can be measured. Some of you in little faith, come on, everything, it bothers you. But look at your neighbor for the fifth time tonight and say, neighbor, re-examine your posture in your faith and faithfulness to God. Because when you have strong faith, you're not easily moved. But we walk down a few more verses. Is this all right, church? I'm preaching this Bible tonight. The Bible talks about a double-minded man that is unstable in all of his ways. But why? Because that man is too wishy-washy. Double-minded people with little faith, easily moved. You know folk like that. You got them right up in the church right now. You ask what they want to eat. They say, you pick. So you pick and you get there, and then they want to pout about it. Come on. You told me you didn't care. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. I'm talking about wishy-washy. Some of you husbands, don't look at your wife right now. Come on, because I'm trying to preach to your spirit. I'm talking about wishy-washy. Come on. We can't ever agree on nothing. Something's always bothering you. Come on. I'm telling you, because it's here. Ephesians said it best, being tossed to and fro by any wind and doctrine. Come on, somebody. God is not after your shout. He's after your belief system. And the Lord sent me here on this Thursday night of camp meeting to preach you into a new place in God. Come on, we need a renewal in our faith again. We need to see, come on, the things of God be birthed again. It's a shaky belief system causing us to walk away from the things of God and walk in a spirit of discouragement. But I come to tell somebody tonight, the Lord has brought you here to be restored in your belief. You'll see the hand of God work miracles again. You'll see the hand of God save your children again. You'll see the hand of God revival fires. Come on, that cannot be quenched. Come on, there's a revival of your faith. I dare to take your hand and put it on your head and say, God, restore my faith again. Stir up my faith. Stir up my faith. Come on. I'm talking about stirring up. That I don't just come to church expecting God to move. No, stir it up. That when I walk to the refrigerator in the middle of the night to get a glass of ice cold milk, I start speaking in tongues. Not because the milk is good, but because God is good. I'm talking about a revival in your faith. And stirs you to jump up out of your bed at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and start calling your children back home again. Start calling your family back home again. So come on, I'm talking about a revival in our faith. That I say, God, I know they've been in the streets far too long, but God, I pray you send something to them that when they try to get the next high, let them hear my prayers. Let them let them feel me. Tell them they can come out of this alive. They can come out of this and be free. You talk to me and tell me that God can't do it. You've come too late. I've seen them do it. I've seen them go to federal penitentiary and let them know you might have murdered, but I am a God that can restore. You might have somebody. Is it only my family? Simon, is it all right tonight? I pray for you because Simon, I'm praying for you. You have to understand that now we have to look at this in this manner, because we understand that now not only did he interrupt and say, Simon, Simon, I pray for you that your faith would fail you not. But faith is the confidence in God. It will, come on, move for your life the things that work out for the betterment. And what I like about God is his graciousness to remain faithful. I just need you right now to shout your last name in the atmosphere, because everybody attached to you has to come back to God. I dare you right now to shout your name, whether it be your maiden name, come on, or whether it be, come on, the name of the Lord. But I dare you right now to shout it, because I'm telling you, you know what you just done? You just spoke something into the atmosphere. You just spoke something. Oh, yeah, you see what you've done? You prophesied that everybody in my house, they gotta be set free. Everybody in my bloodline, they gotta come to God. Everybody in the past, from my last shame, I still find him in the part of their resurrection. I dare you shout it one more time. Shout your last name. Shout it in the atmosphere. They will not die lost. I need you to hear me right now. I'm coming to a close, but I come to tell you there's a word called El Hanayamon. Tell your neighbor, say El Hanayamon. What is that? It's in Hebrew, the faithful God. Y'all ain't talking. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, El Hanayamon. The faithful God is about to show up and give you what you need. God still ain't talking. Go to somebody else that wants to talk to you and say, neighbor, El Hanayamon is about to show up and show you that everything is going to be all right. El Hanayamon, he is unmovable. El Hanayamon, he is unshakable. El Hanayamon, he is unchangeable. El Hanayamon, he is a sturdy God. El Hanayamon, you. I pray for you that your faith will fail you not. The term faith in this genealogy is spoken in terms of money, of currency, or of weight. You know what this means? It was teaching us that your faith faileth not. What it suggests is, I pray that the plot of destruction doesn't weaken you, catch it, or make you lose your weight in God. That's what he's saying. He said, I know you've been in a tussle, but Simon, I pray for you. I want to preach to somebody tonight that is in the posture. Your faith has gotten you so low that you've struggled, but I don't want another prophecy that I've been waiting on the last one to come forth the last 10 years. No, I just want to know, is El Naaman gonna show up for me? I'm tired of claiming it and watching nothing happen. But Simon, Simon, Satan is gonna put you in such a place that he's gonna place you in a mental crisis. Sister Flo, let's get off the runway now and let's preach us home. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Good evening, family. I thank you for having me. And I come to preach and tell somebody, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to shake you until there's nothing left. But Jesus warns Peter and says, not today. Tell your neighbor, not today, boo. Y'all ain't talking. Not today, boo. You come against my mind, not today. You come against my children, not today. You come against my house, not today. Oh, I dare somebody smack your chest and say, self, I might be fighting, but not today. Come, this is what scripture declares. You have to fight the good fight of faith, putting on the shield of faith, because it's going to be a tussle in your faith. I don't need what you're going through to weaken you. So I come to tell you, Peter, that I have given you something. Peter, you cannot throw in the towel. I know what's next for you. You cannot lose your faith because you're going to need it. And Jesus is declaring, my plan in the plot is to pray for your personal stability, Simon, so that you can have a victory corporately. Come a little closer, church, and tap into me. When you look at the text, and we think Jesus is only talking to Peter, the Bible says that Jesus catches foretells, tell somebody, the best is yet to come. The Bible declares that Jesus foretells his death and argues concerning who will be the greatest among them all. After this, Jesus, he responds to him and tells him in the conversation, I would assume that God would follow me where I'm going. But because he tells them to be encouraged while they're having an argument, he stops and confronts Simon. And he says, Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you, for Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Y'all ain't tired of this Bible, are you? Because you look deeper and you look in the Greek interpretation. The Bible says Satan wants you, but Simon, Simon, he desires to sift y'all. Y'all ain't gonna have my kind of church. Here we go. The Bible declares, I had to talk to Simon because Simon was gonna leave them after my death. That when the Holy Ghost would come, he would stand as a chief apostle to tell them about this good Holy Ghost. So Simon, I had to talk to your carnality so I could prophesy to your spirituality. I dare you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to prophesy to the carnal man in you, because God wants to pull out the spiritual man in you. Spiritual, spiritual, I pray for you. Carnal, carnal, you ain't gonna die. Spiritual, spiritual, you will prophesy. Carnal, carnal, you will not fall prey to the attacks of hell. But I come to tell somebody, Simon says that I am Peter. Simon says that upon this rock, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Ah, I hear somebody lose your mind. Lift your voice and shout God. Simon says, I'm Peter. Simon says that I will be all that God has called me to be.
I'm here. Simon, Simon, I gotta talk to you now because the enemy has come, catch it, to shake your camp, to shake your belief system. But the devil is a liar, because I'm keeping my faith. And I'm going to keep my composure too. Hey God. Come on, I dare you right now. Just pop myself. I'm keeping my faith. And I'm keeping my composure too. Because when he talks to Peter, Jesus doesn't talk to Peter by his prophetic name. No, he approaches him. Come on, through his carnal name. And I know some of you are trying to figure out why in the world that Jesus would take the time to show us here what he's saying. Well, I tell you, he had to talk to the weak nature of Simon, because if I got Simon where he is to shift him into another place in me, then when the best is yet to come as Peter will have to deal with what Simon had to fight. Come on here. So the best is yet to come, yes, but I had to get the Simon out of you so that I could prophesy and anoint you to be Peter. Ah, come on, somebody. I dare to push your neighbor till they fall out of their chair and say, neighbor, God had to pull the Simon out of you so that he could anoint you to be Peter. Ah, and the Bible declares, Simon, Simon, carnal, carnal, let your faith fail not. But Peter, when you come out of this, I need you to be strengthened. Those that are coming behind you, carnal, carnal, I pray for you. Spiritual, spiritual, when you come out of this, I dare somebody to rest up on your feet tonight and to just lift your hands and say, Lord, whatever you do in this season, I don't want to walk in. Come on, the spirit. And leave as carnal. No, I want to walk in as carnal and leave as spiritual. I want to walk in, come on, with all my needs and give it unto God. My flesh may be under attack, but by spirit, I'm going to be kicked out of this. When you come out of this, you'll come out as pure gold. You're going through this as carnal, but you're coming through this as spiritual. I dare somebody to catch you tonight. Get out of your seat. Go to 4.5 people and tell them you're going through it as carnal, but you're coming out of it as spiritual. You're going through it as carnal, but you're coming out of it as spiritual. Come on, y'all looking at me, and I'm looking at you. But get out of your seat and tell somebody, I'm going through it as carnal, but I'm coming out of it as spiritual. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to fret. But God is getting ready to give me an anointing. To find this altar, and we're gonna shout, because I believe tonight what hell has tried to kill you with, what the enemy has tried to destroy your mind with, tonight I come to prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God is getting ready to give you a gift of anointing. Your faith shall fail you not. Your faith shall fail you not. You will not waver. You will not bend. You will not break. You will not walk away. But you shall stand in an even place and declare and decree that this ain't the end of my story. But this is only the beginning. I bless somebody. All that Simon says, I'm Peter. Simon says, I'm Peter. Simon says, I am the man of God. Simon says, I am the woman of God. The deal. Simon says, I'm getting ready to get my praise back. I'm getting ready to get my worship back. I dare somebody, when you've been
right now.